Welcome to the Day One Podcast. For more information about this weekly half-hour program featuring outstanding preachers from mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.org.
What are you giving for Christmas this year? I don't mean what are you getting. We all want something wonderful, I'm sure. But what are you giving for Christmas?
That's the very Reverend Sam Candler. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is a new day of faith and hope. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's preacher.
Thanks, Sherry. At this very meaningful time of year, we're delighted to welcome back to Day One the very Reverend Samuel G. Candler, Dean of the Cathedral of St. Philip in the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta, Georgia. Sam, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you, Peter. It's a delight.
The Cathedral of St. Philip had its origin more than 150 years ago in Atlanta, and today it is literally and figuratively a beacon on the hill for the whole city. Give us a sense of some of the ways the cathedral reaches out to meet needs in the community as that beacon.
The cathedral tries to be a cathedral not by title, but by service. So we tend to think that most of our ministry occurs off of the hill, outside of that beacon. Always on the first Sunday of Advent, we have an intergenerational event which brings folks together, making Advent wreaths and such, kind of breaking the typical routine. Each of our classes does some kind of outreach project, some kind of service to many of the local outreach pieces in Atlanta.
You have a very large and capable staff, so how do you approach your role as the dean?
I have a wonderful staff and a wonderful parish. That's really how the cathedral operates. I try to set the vision, set the direction of that really complicated but delightful community. And it helps that I enjoy the parishioners and I enjoy the staff on our good days.
You're also involved in Atlanta's interfaith community and helped develop a formal structure of that named the Faith Alliance of Metro Atlanta. What's involved in that effort?
Well, there are a lot of us who appreciate the goodwill of different religions. And so we've met together sometimes to do social active work together, sometimes to pray together, and sometimes just to share a meal together. What I'm interested in is developing relationships of goodwill across religious lines, especially so that when unfortunate things occur, maybe even a crisis, we have networks already established where we trust one another.
Very important. I want to ask you about your family, but does your family have any special traditions or practices during the Christmas season?
Well, since I'm usually working throughout Advent and Christmas, our best tradition is simply to sleep after all of it is done. One that we've really enjoyed, though, is about a week or so before Christmas, we will have what we call a cheesy Christmas carol sing, very unplanned and unstructured. We try for it to be kind of different from all the planned Christmas parties. We throw it together deliberately at the last minute. People bring things over, and we just sing together. We start with Christmas carols, but we'll generally sing whatever people want to.
Well, today, for the fourth Sunday in Advent, our gospel reading is Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. Would you read it for us?
Thank you, Peter. I'd be happy to. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
Well, this is a beautiful and well-known passage. The wise men show up in the next chapter, and that's apparently sometime later. But where's the manger? Where are the shepherds? Where's all that good Christmas pageant stuff?
One of the fascinating things about the Christian Gospels is that each of the four tells the story differently. The one we typically see and enjoy at many churches is pretty much a conglomeration of Luke and Matthew. Very few of the stories appear the same. The wise men are only in Matthew, and the shepherds are only in Luke.
And Matthew focuses intimately on the relationship between Mary and Joseph, and frankly, a very awkward situation in that relationship. It often seems that Joseph gets very little attention in the Christmas story, but he's the main character, it seems, in this account. What do you make of that?
I love it that in the Gospel of Matthew, Joseph is the main character. I have great regard for Mary, of course, but it's important to see that God works through Joseph as well as Mary, and I think miracles occurred in both of them.
Well, Sam, we look forward to hearing more about the situation that becomes something glorious in your sermon today. Believe in the dreams of the person you love. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Peter.
It was a few days before Christmas. A woman woke up one morning and told her husband, "I just dreamed that you gave me a pearl necklace for Christmas. What do you think this dream means?" "Oh," her husband replied, "you'll know the day after tomorrow." The next morning she turned to her husband again and said the same thing. "I just dreamed that you gave me a pearl necklace for Christmas. What do you think this dream means?" And her husband said, "You'll know tomorrow." On the third morning, the woman woke up and smiled at her husband. "I just dreamed again that you gave me a pearl necklace for Christmas. What do you think this dream means?" And he smiled back, "You'll know tonight." And that evening, the man came home with a small package and presented it to his wife. She was delighted. She opened it gently. And when she did, she found a book. And the book's title was The Meaning of Dreams. What have you been dreaming about lately? Some of us are dreaming about wonderful possibilities. We're dreaming of pearl necklaces and sugar plum fairies and new bicycles. I hope all those dreams come true. But as I consider my own dreams, I realize that I dream in two major categories. I have two kinds of dreams. Sometimes my dreams are dreadful. I imagine painful relationships. I live out meetings and deadlines that I have missed. I am standing in a pulpit, for instance, with nothing to say. These are nights that I spend wrestling, like my ancestor, the patriarch Jacob. But on other occasions, my dreams are the most refreshing I can imagine. I have also dreamed about reconciliation. I have dreamed that enemies are at my table, and we are living convivially. I have dreamed of flying fancily through the air, I have dreamed of new life and hope. I have dreamed of lean years followed by wonderful years. These are nights that I dream like my ancestor, the patriarch Joseph. A few years ago, Time magazine published an intriguing cover article. No, it was not another article about the birth of Jesus. I expect all sorts of articles like that this time of year. Those articles are intriguing, to be sure, but they generally cover material that has been discussed before. Where was Jesus actually born? Who were the wise men? And so forth. No, the article that struck me was about sleep. For all that we know about the human body these days, scientists do not know the exact reason that we need sleep. We know why we need food, shelter, and clothing, but we don't know why we need sleep. And what is the reason for dreams? Those strange images that bounce along our brain waves. We wake suddenly, and reality itself seems like a different world. Why do we need sleep? I believe the answer is this. We need sleep because we need to dream. Today's gospel lesson is about a dream. The fourth Sunday of Advent is about a dream, the dream of Joseph. Not Mary's dream, but Joseph's dream. In fact, the story of the angel Gabriel appearing to the Virgin Mary appears in only one gospel, the Gospel of Luke. In two other gospels, Mark and John, there is no account whatsoever of the physical birth of Jesus. We have four Gospels, and they differ dramatically in how they tell the story of the birth of Jesus. In Matthew's Gospel, the angel appears not to Mary at all, but to Joseph. And it is Matthew's Gospel that we read this year. It is Joseph we hear of today. Consider his point of view. Joseph dreamed something wonderful. It was astounding. God would enter the world. God would be born to his wife, as crazy as that was to understand. Joseph had some serious trusting in God to do. But Joseph had to trust someone else, too. Joseph had to trust Mary. I know Mary was his wife, and surely Joseph must have loved Mary. But still, this took a lot of trust. And this is why Joseph's dream is so important. Joseph dreamed of the salvation of the world. And for Joseph, the way of salvation meant trusting someone else. It may well be that true salvation comes through someone else. That is the lesson for us, too. Like Joseph, sometimes, we are supposed to trust God and then get out of the way. Trust that God is working through our wife, and then get out of the way. Trust that God is working in our children, and then get out of the way. I was asked a recurring question this past week. I am asked something like this all the time. Why doesn't God speak to us directly? Wouldn't it be great if an angel appeared again? Like the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary? Imagine young Mary, minding her own business, suddenly being overcome with news of a great conception, a great presence of the divine. It's something to have an angel speak to you. even folks who are not religious might turn their heads. Wouldn't it be great to know that such a revelation might happen again? Well, here's my reply to that kind of question. Well, you know what? It did happen again. The angel did appear to someone besides Mary. The story is recorded right in the Bible. The angel appeared not just to Mary. The angel did appear to someone else. The angel appeared to Joseph. We too often forget about poor Joseph. Every year we tend to focus on the story of Mary, but this year it's Joseph. Now, if the angel can appear to Mary and then also appear to Joseph, there's a lesson in that. That means that the angel can appear to you and me too. In the Bible, the Annunciation does not occur only once, but twice, not just to a woman, but also to a man. The Bible, then, carries an implicit message that God does appear over and over again to various sorts of folks. Matthew and Luke both have it right, but they are different stories. God continues to come into the world, but we have to trust other sources. What are you giving for Christmas this year? I don't mean what are you getting. We all want something wonderful, I'm sure. But what are you giving for Christmas? The greatest gift you can give this year is to believe in someone's dreams. The greatest gift you can give is to have faith in someone else. Believe in their dreams. Believe in the dreams of the person you love. Believe in the dream of your husband. Believe in the dream of your wife. Believe in the dreams of your children. Believe in the dream of your hero, your leader, your friend. Believe in their dreams. And sleep comfortably this season. I know some folks do not sleep well. Too much worry, too much food and drink. Remember how the writer Rabelais joked? He said, "I never sleep comfortably except when I'm at a sermon." The reason we sleep is to dream. The reason we sleep is to dream. The reason we have relationships is so that we will have someone who will believe our dreams. God works through those relationships. God works through both Mary and Joseph. God needs both Luke's story of the Annunciation and Matthew's story of Joseph's dream. They are miracle stories. God works through a young and wonderful woman, and her husband believes in her. That miracle can occur again and again. Believe in the dreams of the person you love. Believe in dreams this Christmas, and Jesus will be born again. Believe in dreams this Christmas, and God will appear. Amen. Let us pray. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be right back.
Now let's rejoin our host, Peter Wallace, and Sam Candler for some final thoughts on this week's message.
Sam, thank you for giving us this wonderful insight into Joseph. Joseph seemed to be such a righteous and prudent man. It would have been easy, as the text puts it, to dismiss Mary quietly after she became pregnant and simply ignore the dream that he had. But as you point out, he trusted Mary. He trusted God. He trusted the message of his dream. And as a result, you said, Jesus dreamed of the salvation of the world. What does this tell us about being open to God's working in and through us in possibly fantastic ways?
Well, it means that God is often working through somebody different from us, outside of us. Joseph had to trust what was going on in another person. And that may be one of the secrets to Christian relationships, Peter, is we find God when God works through people who are close to us.
I frankly enjoy most of my dreams. They can be quite interesting, but I've had a dream or two when I felt that God or whoever, whatever, was trying to communicate something very important. Has that ever happened to you?
Well, sure. I don't pretend to be an expert in dreams. Some of the dreams make no sense whatsoever. But I try to be open to God's presence everywhere, certainly in my waking hours. And if God is present there, I think God can be present in my dreams too.
I like the lesson you drew from this, trust God and get out of the way. What might happen if we don't get out of the way?
Well, we tend to stop things up anyway. The human tendency is to grab and hold on to. Mm-hmm. And even our best experiences of God, when we hold on to Him too tightly, we miss the next experience of God.
You also said this is a reminder to believe in the dreams of the person you love, which can involve a big leap of faith, but it works both ways. We need others to believe in our dreams as well. What can happen when we open ourselves to do that?
Well, I think if we can believe in the dreams of the person we love, we actually end up loving more. It actually increases our love. Love ultimately is a gift, and that gift is going to come from God too.
Sam Candler, thank you for being with us, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and to all. Thanks, Peter.
Day One brings you preachers from the Episcopal Church, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, and the United Methodist Church. Day One is a production of the Alliance for Christian Media. Donald Jones is our production supervisor and audio engineer, and Peter Wallace, our executive producer. It's been our joy to bring you today's program. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever. Day One is the only radio broadcast that brings you the positive, meaningful, and welcoming message of the mainline Protestant churches. One listener in Canada writes us, "Thank you so much for making Day One preachers available to those near and far. It's such a blessing to hear such a variety of gifted preachers from across the breadth of the Protestant tradition." Another listener writes, "I always take the time to listen to the Day One podcasts. They help reclaim Christianity for the thinking non-extremists among us." On the radio and online, hundreds of thousands of people like you enjoy the insight and inspiration that Day One offers every week. As we approach the end of another year, please consider making a generous tax-deductible donation to this unique ministry. Our address is Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia 30308. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. Thank you for helping Day One share the good news.